We're in Malachi, and you know, we have transitioned, so some of you may have not been. We're on our third week on Malachi, and if you remember, they decided not to follow God in the precepts that they had signed in front of Nehemiah and had agreed when they first came back to the Holy Land from Babylon. And there were certain things that they promised, and they all signed it. They sealed it with their rings, and now they're breaking it. So Malachi is, that's why we called it the last call before silence, because it went silent on them. God went silent for 400 years because he had worked with them over and over and over, and each time they end up falling on their knees to what they're supposed to do. But we also saw that God deeply loves Israel. And they asked the question, God says it, but it's in their heart, in what way have you loved us? Do you remember that? In what way have you loved us? And I think it's a question we may even ask God, and we talked about that last week, because he proves, first of all, his love for them in a fabulous argument, in my mind, a fabulous argument, by reminding them that he chose them. He chose the country of Jacob or Israel over the country of Esau or Edom. And the takeaway for us is that he loves you and I in the body of Christ the same way he loved Israel. But what's so unbelievable is in Ephesians, he goes into much more detail on his answer. And it was only about 3 weeks ago that we went through Ephesians 1 and 2, 1 through 10. We came up with 27 things that God is going to do in our lives. Every spiritual blessing. So I want to read this because here's how much God loves us. But God, who is rich in mercy, we do need mercy, do we not? God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we are dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up to sit together, and made us to sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in the kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Now, those are almost magical words, aren't they? Just unbelievable what he's done. And to add to that, he not only loves us with a great love, but he's done something for us that he didn't entirely do with Israel. And so I want to read Ephesians 1, 3, and then I want to get on with our sermon. He's talking about God the Father, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Everything that God could think about and know to bless us with, he's blessed us. Now, that's much different than Israel, because Israel had a lot of performance. He's done this through grace. And the moment you trust Christ and enter into the body of Christ, all those promises belong to you. So he's made this point to us so that we're unable to raise the question that Israel raised, which is, in what way have you loved us? And because he told us, my friend, he told us he loved us, and he loves us. Do you hear that this morning? Does your heart hear that this morning? Because we need to know that. And so I want to even say this. This may be a little harsh, okay, but we are blind of heart and foolish if we think God doesn't love us. All because we evaluate him and his love on our circumstances, right? Even though he says it's by grace, we think, well, wait a minute, my life is a little weird, you know. Just like our children do to us, if we discipline them or something, then they think, oh, you don't love me. Right? It's a manipulation, actually, but they do that, and you probably thought your kids were the only ones, okay, but I'm telling you, it happens in families, and we can, as people, get into tight spots. We can get, life can really, really be rough. We had a funeral here yesterday of a girl that got stabbed and killed by her boyfriend, and she's only 23. I think those are tough circumstances. You know, and I talked to the mom for a little bit about it, and I said, you know, bottom line, I don't even know what to say. I don't know. And she looked at me, and she says, thank you. I don't know what to say either. Those are tough. And those are times when we say, wait a minute, God, where are you? Do you love me? because we base it on circumstances and we base it on suffering unjustly and hardship, forgetting that his own son suffered and died for us, as well as the apostles, as well as saints throughout the years have had rough times and hardship and death for Jesus Christ's name. So we are blind and we are foolish. Don't take this hard, okay? But we are blind and we're foolish if we think God doesn't love us, because he does. And so that brings us to our next subject for this morning in Malachi. And we're going to move on to just one verse, to chapter 1, verse 6 this morning. I'm going to have it up here and we're going to read it together. I'm going to read the white and you read the yellow, okay? A son honors his father and a servant his master. I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am the master, a master or a lord, where is my reverence? The Lord of hosts. And to you priests, and so we're going to apply it to us, to you Christians who despise or make light of my name,
you say, in what way have we despised or made light of your name?
Okay. Ah, another God question through Malachi, and we know better than to bait it, right? If God states that, we know we're, you know, and I think when we say we despise, I don't think we despise, but do we make light of his name at times? Yeah, that makes a little more sense to us. And so, instead, I think we need to ponder the question that Malachi's brought up through God telling him, have we or you despised him? Meaning, have we made light of who he is in our life? Yes, he's God and he loves us. Okay, so let's get on to what we need to do. That's making light of him, okay? And so I want to break this passage down and us think about it a little bit. A son honors, or, and it could even be translated, should honor, okay? Son honors his father, and you remember, this is a principle all the way through Scripture. We've got it in Exodus, in the Law of Moses. We have it in Ephesians 6, which says, honor your father and mother that you may what? Live long. A promise that we might live a long life. And so that is a thing. And so he's saying a son honors his father and a servant should honor or honors his master. Master meaning Lord. So those are two principles that we have in the Scripture that travel through. So the question is, if then I am the father, and we are adopted into his family, right? Okay. Where is my honor as your father? Where is my esteem? Where is my high respect? A place of privilege. A recognition of being your father. And if I'm a master, if I'm a boss or a lord, where is my reverence? Where is the respect and fear that's due me because I'm Lord? Those are pretty hard questions, aren't they? Says the Lord of hosts, says the multitude, the Lord of multitude or masses. And I'm asking you as Christians who make light of my name. I think that's what he's saying. And yet you say, in what way have we made light of your name? Well, we do need to ponder that question. And we might think to ourselves, well, wait a minute, I accepted Christ, I go to church, I read my Bible, I sing at worship time, even though the others around me don't. I pray, when things get tough. No. He's saying you may recognize him, but you don't honor him or fear him as Lord. Now, as I said, I look around and I think most of all of us have trusted Christ as Lord, and the question has to be, is he really Lord of your life? We've trusted him as Lord, but then is he Lord of our life? And as I read the question this week and studied this, I have to be honest, I felt slapped in the face with these scriptures. I just thought, man, there's too many times when I make light of the Lord. You know, where I think, oh, I'm all sufficient, I can do my own thing. I felt like God just reached down and pow, You know, wake up, Steve. Because I find myself too relaxed with God. I believe what he says, and I have read it, and I've meditated on it for 45, 6, 7 years, however long I've been a Christian, and I feel like Christ is my buddy and my friend. I don't even question that in my life anymore. I just feel like he's my buddy, and he's my go-to for resources, right? When I'm hurt, oh, I go right to Christ and talk to him, and or God, the Father, and talk to him. But I forget at times, he is my slave master. Those are biblical words, okay? He's my slave master. He's the creator of me, the power. He's all-powerful, all-knowing, all-present. He's not the God of the earth. He's the God of the universe. And he's the God of me. And he's the God of you. Do you hear me this morning? He's my master. I'm his slave. So that's the question I have to work out in my life. He's your master, and you are his slave. Paul uses the same terminology that Malachi uses all the way through the scripture. Since we usually don't think in those deep terms, here's what I want to do this morning, okay? We're going to do a little kind of a little project here together. I want you to turn to people you know and two or threes or whatever. If you're sitting by yourself, go to another's chair so you can talk. And for I'm going to give you 3 minutes to, and what I want you to do is describe what you think God looks like and what it feels like in heaven. Because we're going to read some scriptures on that, okay? Do you hear that? What God looks like, or you think he might look like, or what heaven looks like, what God looks like in there, what the angels look like. 3 minutes, go. Come on, let's go. Huh? Yeah. Hey, you're not following my rules. There's a guy sitting by himself, having to do it by himself, because you won't move up. Thank you, brother. Okay, 1 more minute. Okay, 10 seconds. Okay. By the way, it may sound like I have a cold. I don't. I just won't quit riding my motorcycle and all the smoke out there. And so it makes my nose run and I cough and that kind of thing. And it's like, well, you have to pay a price. Okay. So I just want maybe 2 people to say, describe what you think God looks like and what it would feel like being in heaven. Anybody want to give it a shot? Anybody else? Oh, okay. Yeah, go ahead.
We both have the sense that we won't be able to see, but we'll have consciousness.
Okay.
And that
Okay.
And warmth.
Okay.
And we have questions about what we'll see, how we'll see and know others.
Okay.
But our hope is
yeah.
that they'll be anticipating
yeah.
our arrival and that there will be some sort of way that we'll have consciousness.
Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Because God's spirit, so he can't necessarily be seen. Yeah. Good. Good. Somebody else? Anybody else? Come on. Okay. You're going to have to really talk loud because we're not.
The word she used, but she called it liquid love.
Liquid love. Okay. Okay, good. All right. And you had your hand up?
Yeah, I think it's just going to probably be.
Real loud.
I think it'll be overwhelming.
Yeah.
I think it'll be mentally, physically, spiritually, something we've never encountered. Probably drop you to your knees in awe of what the heck, what is, what oh. is, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, good, good. Okay, I'm going to just, we're going to go to a couple passages and read about God in heaven. But here's what I want to do first. I want to, I want to knock it down a notch to an angel, first of all, because I think we need to gear up to God. Okay, so I'm going to go to Daniel chapter 8, if you have your Bibles and want to look at it. I'm going to have it up here, okay? And I want to read this, and I want you to think about this for a minute. And here's what I want you to do. As I read it, I want you to put yourself in Daniel's place, because he's going to see the angel Gabriel, and I want you to put yourself in his place, okay? God has given Daniel a vision, and he's trying to figure out what it means. And he says, "Then it happened when I, Daniel, had seen the vision and was seeking the meaning that suddenly there stood before me one having the appearance of a man. And I heard a man's voice between the banks of the Ulai who called and said, 'Gabriel, make this man understand the vision.' So he came near where I stood, and when he came, I was afraid and fell on my face." Ouch. Okay. He passed out. "Now, when he was speaking with me, I was in a deep sleep with my face to the ground, but he touched me and stood me upright." Now, listen to this. This is an angel that looks like a man. We know the angel cannot look like a man too, right? And so he looks like a man. He hears this voice say that, and immediately he passes out. And the angel touches him to pull him up and describe this. Now, I want to think about what it would be like to face God, okay? And we're going to go to Isaiah 6, Isaiah 6, verse 1. And I want to see if this matches what you guys discussed, okay? Because the Bible does tell us a few times about this. So here's Isaiah. Isaiah is in the time when Israel is bad and they're going to be taken out within two or three generations. And so Isaiah's writing, and this is chapter 6, verse 1. "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple." And now I want you to think about that for a second. The train that you always see behind a king fills up the temple. "Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried out to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, or the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.' And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said," and here's Isaiah's reaction, "'Woe is me.'" Can you imagine the feeling? "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Revelation 4, 1. You know, when we think about this, I don't always think about that part of it. I think about the friendship. I think about the relationship I have with Jesus and the Father. But when you stop to look at this, what is the relationship of God with his angels and his people in heaven? Man. So we think about God of the universe, and here's the question as we read this. Do we give him the honor he deserves, rightly deserves? So open your hearts to this, will you, as we read through Revelation chapter 4. After these things, I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And so it must be at the temple, because it sounds very similar to Isaiah. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me. So here is a seraphim that is talking, and it sounds like a tuba, probably. So loud and so magnificent. It's the same angel that's going to come at the time of the rapture, and it says he will shout at the last trumpet, his last voice. And we've talked about that because I think he's going to call your name when it comes in. You're going to hear your name through that trumpet. And here is John listening. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking to me, saying, come up here and I will show you the things which you must take place after this. Immediately I was in the spirit. Now why didn't he take John in the flesh? 1 Corinthians 15:50 says, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot walk into heaven in flesh and blood. So he has to go by spirit, okay? Immediately I was in spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he who sat on the throne was like a jasper, a multicolored stone that is beautiful type of stone, and a sardis stone in appearance, and this one that has a tan shade that is transparent and is a beautiful stone. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Now, we all know what an emerald is. You can see right through an emerald. And a rimel is a beautiful greenish blue. Around the throne were 24 thrones. And on the thrones, I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeding lightnings and thunderings and voices, seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass, like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. I think it's the same ones that Isaiah saw. The first living creature was like a lion. The second living creature was like a calf. The third living creature was the face of a man. And the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. Now, if we went to Ezekiel, we find out that's their faces. The rest of them all kind of look the same, but they have the face of an eagle. They have a face of a calf. They have a face of a man. And the four living creatures each had six wings. We're full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest in... Now listen, listen with your heart to what he's saying here, okay? And they do not rest day or night saying, they do not rest day or night, continuously saying this, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And that is God's name, isn't it? Whenever the living creatures gave glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Now that's reverence and honor. It's the reverence and honor they gave to him, the Lord, who sits on the throne forever and ever and ever. Now what's our takeaway this morning? Do you believe what you shared today? Do you agree with the Bible in what it really is going to be like in heaven? We don't have a whole lot more about heaven in there. Ezekiel has some stuff, but it's fairly hidden. And the reason I think is hidden is because we'd worship heaven rather than the Lord. Amen? We'd be thinking about the carnival rather than the person. So he's saying to you right now this morning, my friend, every one of you, he is saying, if I am a father, and he is our father, amen? He is our life. He's our life. And so we simply cannot deny what we in word profess. We say he's Lord. We say he's our father. So he asks, if I am your father, where's my honor? If I'm your Lord, where's my reverence? Where's my worship? Where's my respect? Where's my admiration? Because in heaven, everybody worships me. And he's bought us as his servants by Christ's blood. And he wants us to labor in his vineyard. Can you see why he slapped me in the face? Does it slap you in the face a little bit? Are we too light when we say he's our Lord? Are we just saying, hey, we're just, yeah, we're going to heaven, thank God. Yeah, let's get on with it. Or do we really, really honor and give reverence to him? Does that resonate in your heart? Who is the Lord of glory? He is our personal loving God and friend, and he's the Lord Jesus Christ, and he deserves the honor and the praise and the worship and our friendship as well.